Well, y'all, this morning, the title of what I'm going to present is The Gospel of Christ is Glorious Because the Wondrous Love It Reveals. And folks, this week, got a bug in my craw with one of my friends. He's a Christian, or claims to be anyway. I believe he's a Christian. I believe he's saved. But he's messed up on the doctrines of grace bad. And he called me a hyper grace. And I responded back to him. I said, "Brother, if you believe in grace, you can't make grace hyper. Because if you mix anything else in with grace, it's no longer grace." Folks, the belief that we have of the sovereign grace of election is foreign to most of the folks who claim the name Baptist.
That's right.
It is, but it's the historical belief. If you go back through the New Testament, we didn't make this stuff up. It's biblical. Boy, is it going to be one of those mornings? It's biblical. And folks, we just have to stick by the guns because there's not, as we know, there's not a lot of folks left who believe the doctrines of election like we believe them. And the reason is because it takes control away from man. And folks, as long as we can stick to the beliefs like we believe, our lives will be fine. But if we start adulterating grace, and like I told him, I said, we aren't taking away anything from man's free will. His free will take him straight to hell, because man has no desire to be known by or to God. Anyway, that was an extra little thing there. That wasn't part of what I was going to speak on this morning. It led me to bring this message this morning, and the songs that were chosen there just kind of hit dead square down the row, and he had no idea what I was going to speak on this morning. Got two large texts. I want to start with John 3:14-18. Y'all turn with me there. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten, the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, we've talked numerous times about the fact that the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness is a type of God, and you can't see it any easier than right there where it's called out. Now let's go to 1 John 3:1-3, and then we'll talk about these sections. 1 John 3:1-3, that's a small little book back there, so I'll give y'all just a minute. We're going to talk about several things in there over the morning here. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We'll discuss this more in depth as we move through this, but I just want to hit those verses and kind of set your mind into a thought pattern of the fact that God gives us a glorious gift here. when God calls you to salvation, it is a glorious thing. Both these texts speak of God's wonderful love for His people, a love which is revealed in the glorious gospel of Christ. And folks, everything in this Bible speaks to the gospel of Christ. At the root of salvation of sinners is the sovereign, everlasting, elective love of God that is revealed to us by Him sending His Son to this earth. Both of these texts speak of the love of God and indicate there is something special about the manner of love that is revealed in this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, God does not merely say, God loved the world. Rather, He says, God so loved the world. Obviously, He is calling our attention to the special manner of this love which God had and has for the world of His elect. The same thing is done in John, 1 John 3:1. He does not simply say, behold the fact that God has loved us. Rather, He calls our attention to that manner of love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. Notice that John calls upon us to behold the manner of love. This word behold tells us to take more than just a passing glance. And if you're saved, when you talk about these things, it should bring some emotion to you. Every time I thought about it, I said, you know, he didn't owe me a thing. In fact, He owed me damnation. If He was a just God, our God's an unjust God. Because if He was a just God, we would all face damnation. And it calls upon us to take a lingering look at the manner of this great love. If we obey this admonition, we will focus our attention upon the manner of this love. And let our attention remain upon it for time enough to grasp something of the manner of that love. So we're going to look at a few different things where we see God's love presented in different ways. It reveals that there is a special manner to the love the Father has for His people. This love revealed in the gospel is a love that preceded our love for Him. 1 John 4:19. It's only one page over, but that page was stuck. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
Folks, just think about that. He loved us. Remember, He loved us before the foundation of the earth. If you're one of His elect, He loved you before the foundation of the earth. He loved you with no expectation of what you would do. He knew what you would do. He knew what you would do in life. But He loved you because He loved you. This love revealed in the gospel is a love that predates the foundation of the earth. When I know sometimes I refer to things I'm going to say in a minute, and so I wind up repeating myself, but I guess it bears repeating. So John 17, 23-24, and it's going to be Bible Drill Sunday, y'all. We got a lot of verses to go to this morning. So if I get behind, I'll just read them to you because I do have them written down. But I like to try to get us to turn to them. One more page, 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Folks, God the Father loves us as He loved His own Son. And you know, that's, and you have to think about it this way. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to this earth. For what reason? The only reason for that was our salvation. His death upon the cross, the only, everything He did on this earth led to His death and resurrection and our salvation. If it wasn't for the death and resurrection, Jesus could have stayed in heaven and there would have never been anything. He never needed to come to this earth. He came to save us. This love is revealed in the gospel as an everlasting love. Let's look at Jeremiah, going way back. Jeremiah 31. So in Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We see all the way back in Jeremiah, before Christ ever came to this earth, we see that He loved us, and that loving kindness is what caused Him to draw us. This is before Christ had died on the cross. This is being discussed. It's not something that, this wasn't plan B. This was the plan from before the foundation of the earth that God had set in place. This love is included in the meaning of the word foreknowledge. Romans 8:29. I know we're going to a lot of verses here, but y'all just gonna have to hang with me here. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Boy, for whom He did know. And we're going to discuss this word know here in a few minutes. This isn't know as I know Ted. This isn't I know we have next door neighbors and his name's Joe. This isn't that no. This is a no as in love. And it's not a passing love. It's not a love like we think of love. This is a deep agape love. This love is often included in that simple word no. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Going back to the Old Testament.
Yes.
Does the humidity ever get where your Bible doesn't stick together? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now this was specifically talking about John the Baptist here. But you know what? It refers to every one of us who has been saved. This refers to every one of us who is among the elect. You may not have been called, you may not have met your day of predestination yet, but you may be among that elect still. I pray that there's a lot of folks in here who haven't seen their day of election come yet, that they do. This love revealed in the gospel is a gracious love. In our passage, John tells us that this love has been bestowed upon us by the Father, which shows that is a gracious love. 1 John 3:1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This is not just the Son. This is the Father. The Father sent His Son. And folks, one of the things that always strikes me about the accounts of what happened on the cross, if you've ever had a tiff with your dad, you know, dad being mad at me was not a good thing. I didn't enjoy it. But God the Father turned His back. Can you imagine the anguish? Can you imagine the down... I just, that would be a heartbreaking... Dad may have gotten mad at me, but I don't think he ever turned his back on me like that. But that was required for salvation. God could not look upon the sin that Jesus took upon Himself at that point in time. And speaking of the love which God had for the nation of Israel, Moses clearly shows God's elective love to be a gracious love. Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath with which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Boy, folks, the Israelis have lost a great thing by not keeping their side of this covenant that God made with them. Now, God knew they wouldn't keep their covenant. God knew that they would turn their back on Him. But you know what? He still loves that nation. And He'll bring the nation of Israel back. But we, the nation of Israel, is a type of the elect of God. And you know, we can't, if you're an elect of Christ, you elect of God, you can't turn your back far enough that God will break the, because He made an everlasting covenant with us. This covenant with Israel is an everlasting covenant, but they're reaping what they've sowed lately because they've turned their back on God. God hadn't left the covenant. They've left the covenant. Paul would also have us understand that the love revealed in the gospel is a gracious love. Romans 5:8. Think about wore y'all out on looking up verses here. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us based on something we would do. He died for us while we were still sinners. Folks, just the beauty of this is, you know, it's hard to think how God could act like He acted. And that's why we can't understand a lot of the things of God, is because He, and we were talking before service about the fact that if we controlled the weather, we'd make it what we wanted. And, you know, God could willy-nilly do what He wants to with the weather, but He thinks about us. He loves us. And He protects us. So this love, we're going to walk on into the next section here. This love revealed in the gospel is a sovereign love. There is nothing that obligated God to love even one person in the fallen descendants of Adam. There's certainly nothing that obligated God to love all the fallen descendants of Adam. That the Father bestows His love clearly shows that this love is sovereign. That all are not objects of His love is clear from Romans 9:13. Just a couple pages over, y'all. Stay in the general area. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Folks, that doesn't fall in line with today's God is love. That doesn't fall in love. That fall in line with what the name it and claim it religions want to think that God is just love. Esau have I hated. And folks, the non-elect, God does not know them like He knows the elect. That God's elective love is sovereign is evident from Moses' declaration to Israel back in Deuteronomy 7:7-8. That God's love is sovereign is evident from what Jesus will say to many when they plead their case before Him at the white throne judgment. Let's look at Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils? In Thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, I'm Lucian texted several of us this morning about Trump's, I guess he'd call him his spiritual advisor. And she's a female, first off. She's been divorced 3 times. And I guess she's probably an apostolic somewhere in that area, Pentecostal somewhere in that area. But the fact that, man, just, you know, what she believes, I'm sure she's gotten from somebody else. Folks, that's the apostates are out there. And like we say here in this verse, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And I'm sure that lady's going to stand there and go, Lord, Lord, I was Trump's spiritual advisor, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, and I mean, unless she comes to saving knowledge before her death. So, I'm going to call your attention to the I never knew you. That is the same as saying I never loved you. Since Christ knows all men in the sense of knowledge of them being, this is a reference to that special love that He sets on and bestows upon those whom He has chosen. He has never set that love on these because His love is a sovereign love. And I'm gonna move through this at a rather rapid pace, or we're not going to get done with this. This love revealed in the gospel is also an inseparable love. Look at Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for Thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Folks, that right there gives me the... the word just came out, fell out of my mind. That lets me know that I'm saved forever. Folks, it's not going away. This love revealed in the gospel is an exceedingly great love. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. It must be great because of the one who bestows upon us, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who are high, holy, and undefiled. And the attributes of God stops, you know, we can have a falling out. And you can have a falling out with God, but He's not going to let go of you. It had to be great because our exceedingly great sinfulness. Just think about this. Before salvation, we hate God. We may put on a good front. We may act like we, you know, I was raised in the church. There was no thought in my mind that I hated God, but I hated my nature hated the things of God. And upon salvation, you have a change of nature. It is so great that it passes knowledge. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. Now we're going to turn over there. Where am I going? Ephesians 2. 3. Boy. Yeah, there we are. 3:17 through 19. Sorry, I lost my place in my notes here. That 3:17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Folks, we can't even with our minds, we can't wrap our minds around this great love that Christ bestows upon us. We want to, but understanding the things of God, you know, wrapping our finite mind around the infinite God is an impossibility. He does things that we just don't understand. They're against our nature. Our nature is not a nature of love. Our nature isn't a nature of desiring the things of God. The glorious gospel of Christ reveals a love with a distinct purpose. This distinct purpose is declared in our first text, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The purpose of this love is none of those who are loved should ever perish. The purpose of this love is that all of those who are so loved have eternal life. Since all of those who are so loved will believe and come to Christ, then none of them will perish. So when the free will folks want to say, well, what do you do with John 3:16? Well, whosoever will. But if you don't have the will, you won't. And that's just the way God created it, the way God willed it to happen. As many as are ordained to eternal life do believe, and those so loved were ordained to eternal life. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All of those who so loved were given to Christ, and none of those given to Christ will ever be cast out. So none of those so loved will perish. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, if you're amongst that elect, you will come. The purpose of this love that is revealed in the gospel is set forth in our second text, 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is in agreement with the fact that the same ones who were predestinated to the adoptions of sons in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This agrees with the fact that the purpose of the death of Christ was that He might gather together the children of God scattered abroad. John 11:52. And not for that nation only, but that also He should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. This purpose of love shown in the gospel is confirmed by the fact that those whom God loved before the foundation of the world were also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. This love revealed in the gospel shows God's plan and purpose in setting His love on us was that we might receive the adoption of sons, Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The purpose of this love revealed in the gospel is that Christ should bring many sons to glory through His death. Let's look at Hebrews 2:9 through 4, and we'll take the time to turn there. But we see Jesus, who has made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He that sanctified and they that who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare Thy name unto My brethren in the midst of the church, and will sing praise unto Thee. And again I will put My trust in Him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given Me. For as much as them as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. The glorious gospel of Christ reveals a love that gives us a very grand and present reality. Because of the love revealed in the gospel and its great purpose, we are now the sons of God. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we sons of God. This reality belongs to everyone who knows he has loved, and with everlasting love by the fact that he has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given every one of us who has believed on Christ the witness of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, assuring us that we are now at this moment sons of God. Romans 8:14 through 17, and we've read that before. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Paul joins John in assuring us that in grand reality is a present reality, Galatians 3:26, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The love revealed in the glorious gospel of Christ also assures us of a glorious prospect. This prospect is still partially a mystery. 1 John 3:2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Paul gives us some description of that mystery in 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a glorious little few verses there. While we may not understand all that is involved in these mysteries, we can know that its fulfillment is an absolute certainty. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. While it is still partially a mystery, it is wonderful to contemplate the glorious prospects assured by the gracious love set forth in the glorious gospel of Christ. It's wonderful to take a look at. It is wonderful to contemplate the wonderful prospect of being like Christ, as shown in 1 John 3:2. It is wonderful to contemplate the wonderful prospect of being conformed to His image, as in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It is wonderful to contemplate the wonderful prospect of the redemption of our bodies from the ravages of sin's curse. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which gave the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It is wonderful to contemplate the glorious prospect of having Him fashion our bodies like unto His glorious body. Philippians 3:20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue the things unto Himself. It's wonderful to contemplate seeing Christ in all His glory and majesty. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. It is also purifying to contemplate the wonderful and grand prospect of this love revealed in the glorious gospel. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It is also comforting to contemplate the great prospect that is ours of the love revealed in the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore the comfort one another with these words. So those of us who have lost loved ones that we have grieved in our past, we have a hope. There is a hope. We'll be with them one day. And that's one of the great things that we have to think about our loved ones. What wonderful, glorious, marvelous, gracious, sovereign, everlasting love is revealed in the glorious gospel of Christ. There may be some of you that have no idea how wonderful and marvelous it is. If you could and would only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say with wonderful assurance, I am now a child of God, and I am now certain of all that is involved is out in the future. But I do know that when He shall appear, I shall be like Him. For I will see Him as He is. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. May the God of this love and grace be gracious to you. Open your heart to His glorious gospel and grant you the faith to lay hold of Jesus Christ if He has not already graciously blessed you.